for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2008 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Thursday morning, October the 30th, 2008. This is the small group teaching being held downstairs in the main meeting room. Angelo Rosero is the speaker of this service teaching on
trusting in your God-given authority.
Amen. Praise be to God. Asking the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us and that we may be able to receive the blessings, the anointment that's going to make a difference in our lives. You see, there's a time and place in our lives that we don't even have to touch people no more. The Word of God is so powerful that it created the heavens and the earth. And just by the Word alone can make a difference in our lives. And it's all about God in us. Not about religion or denomination. If religion and denomination to save the world, this world will be a paradise. There ain't such a thing. God's word stands on its own. And heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will abide forever. I'll be gone for years, but the word will still be here. And God will still be God. The enemy could do whatever he wants. God is still sitting on his throne. And one of the greatest things that God has is that he's there on our behalf. And not only on our behalf, he's on behalf of the earth also. I love when the Apostle Paul speaks to the Romans and he says that the world cries out to be liberated also. That means that the world, nature has a feeling, has a life of its own. You know, plants hear, plants feel, plants have connection with God. Everything that we touch has a connection with God. And everything that the enemy sees, he wants to be able to try to destroy it. Because everything has an image of God. And because it has an image of God, he hates everything about the world because God created it. He hates everything about man because he created us. And he hates how we feel. And he tries to put his emotions and his feelings. Do you ever try to figure out how those evil feelings get in there when you're not even thinking about them? How those desires come to us? How sometimes we want to eat because we're sad or hurt or somebody don't love us. And we just give our life to eating and eating and eating or sleeping. And you sleep all day, sleep all night and wonder what's going on here. And we know we're intelligent beings because God made us intelligent. But we still cannot deal with the issue. And we forget that there are two things that we fight against. And one of the problems that we have is fear. Fear makes us do many things. And the enemy sends these spirits to allow us to feel they want to feel. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know that, right, already. Thank God. God gave us the spirit power of a sound mind. Thank God we're not crazy. We may think we're crazy because sometimes we hear voices, right? And people may think we're crazy because to ourselves. Truly, we're not talking to ourselves if we're saved. We're talking to the Lord. We're asking the Lord for his divine protection. And he gave us power. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we doubt ourselves that we have that authority. And we want that authority many times for the outside, for other people. But actually, that authority is a personal thing between you and God. It is to give you the power, the authority, the knowledge, the wisdom that you need to control your atmosphere, to control who you are. Then when you are able to control who you are and those thoughts that come into us and those emotions that come into us that are negative, we have power and authority over them. When you start to take those under control, now you are able to control your atmosphere, your surroundings, children, your family, because you know what you're fighting up against. You know that you're fighting up against evil spirit that is out to destroy the human race. Whether you're a believer or not, it is our place to know that God has given us a spirit power, not a fear. But sin creates fear. It is part of the human nature, the fallen nature dwells in our lives. There is fear. And fear has many different faces. It manifests in many different ways. And it makes us react. You know, fear makes us lie, put on forms of manifestation of our conversation. It makes us lie to ourselves. But again, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. All right. So we're going to try to take that mask off and try to smile and power. And then that spirit that is against us in the name of God. And if God did not give us the spirit of fear, who gave it to us? And he has an army. And do you know that the more you understand the war that you're fighting continuously, the more powerful he becomes, because he sends different demons, different grades. Start off with a little corporal fighting against them. All of a sudden he sends a sergeant. Then he sends a sergeant major. Because you became a little bit more powerful, he can't send the same ones back. That's why every time that you read Matthew 12, you will find that he comes back with seven more. And they don't come back with seven little midgets. He comes with seven giants. And let me explain that fear makes you do things you don't want to do. There's a desire that you want to be able to take that fear out. So what do? In order to hide that fear, they take drugs. They become drug addicted to drugs, to alcohol. They hate everyone around them because they can't stand themselves. It's all it is a cover. And who's hiding behind all those masks is the enemy. He is your enemy. It ain't your pastor, it ain't your mother, it ain't your father, it ain't your brother, it ain't your dog. It is the enemy. And he will hide behind anything that you believe that he's there. So God has given us authority. And you read and heard all the verses that have been given through the whole scripture this whole week. You heard Luke 14. God has given us authority. He's given us power. You have read all these different verses. But what good are they? What good are they if you can't put them into practice? When they gave us the word so that we could memorize and learn that we have a battle against this, then we have to be able to go forward, let this word become alive inside of us. To such a degree that we started putting it into practice. And we start to receive to read. I don't believe Christ created another religion. I believe that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that Christ said that he is the Savior. In the book of John, chapter 1, 1 John 5, it talks about a wonderful thing that we overcome this world. I love to us about this world. You know why? Because the prince of this world is who? Satan. But he's not the king. He got to bow down to the king. Matter of fact, he got to bow down to the King of Kings. And you and I become priesthood. We become princes. That means that we know something. Do you know that when someone is being tutored to become a king, he's a prince first. And they bring all the people that could train them to teach him, because one day he's going to take over the kingdom, ain't he? So they prepare him for all the hardship that he's going to go through, body. And with all the hardship that he's going to go with all the other nations and everybody else around him. Because he has to be a good diplomat. He has to be able to make solid decisions so that he could keep safe. We got a bad president, we're in trouble. We're at war right now. We got a good president, we'll rejoice. But he got to be a godly person. And we're thinking about what president? I don't think about what president. I think about what is God's will. Because there's a moment that whatever president is going to reign, and we're living in a time of economic downfall. But we should not worry. Because God already has a man, whether it's your pastor, your mother, your father, or your uncle, that is preparing a storehouse like Joseph. So your worry should be out the window in the name of the Lord. But because we're more carnal than spiritual, we worry. We wonder what's going to happen. Or there was a man, and he saw the needs of the people. And he got a notion to build when he never saw it raining. Never. And then he does not build it by the water site. He goes to the middle of a valley, and he starts building a boat big as the Empire State Building. How is he going to get it over to the water? The man must be crazy. There's something wrong with that man. That man don't have no common sense, no knowledge, no nothing. But you see, God is in the business of time and future. He is in control of who you are. And as leaders that we are here, we have a responsibility to be able to bring this to our congregation, that they may know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Not that they only hear the word, but that they get to know that that is real. That we could push that into their spirit to such a degree that now they are able to take that spirit of suicide, that compulsion that comes upon them to try to kill them, and tell them, you know what, you don't live here. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus, I command you. You see, because we have a problem. We're asking God all the time, Lord, cast him out. And the Lord said, no, I gave you authority. You cast him out. God has given you the power and the authority to talk back to those spirits that are talking to you. And when we start to take that authority, spirit of suicide, that spirit of loneliness. Anybody has had that spirit of loneliness? Oh, I'm going to go eat something because I'm so lonely. And we keep eating up to, we eat ourselves to death. And we work so much, thinking that our work is the one that's going to do it. No, in the time of the Lord. Because sometimes we do not take time for honest prayer. Fasting. We do not take time for the things that are going on around us to make sure that we're all right. Do you know that your wife or your husband, they become so lonely that they start to even forget about who they are in the ministry? And that becomes a destructive. I don't want to talk about, you know, the congregation. I want to talk about us ministers, us God. How the worries control of our lives. because we do not have relationship one with the other. You know, it ain't good for man to be alone. It ain't good for a woman to be alone. Do you know that? I didn't say that. The Lord said. God said that to Adam, for man to be alone. And then they said, and then we say, oh yeah, but I got God and the Lord is in me and I'm doing God's work. But what about the work that belongs to us as humans? What about if, because we're so busy, and that you couldn't have a nice hamburger or a nice piece of fish, and according to your culture, whatever you want to eat. What about if you did not have that, and you're still doing God's work? Can we be our brother's keeper? So when that person is going through an emotional down, we could be there for that person. Could we be that person that had that emotional flip because you're the father of the house? And that child needs some time so that we could deal with that child and hug them and tell them how much we love them. Because sometimes we're saving the whole world and losing our home. There's an emotional disbalance. There's a worry. There's a spirit that is in there, still in control of who we are. Have anybody gone through that? I know I never have because I'm perfect. But I believe very strong in what God does. His word is real. And you could say whatever you want, but heaven and earth is going to pass away. All the gold, the silver, and the cars, and the glitter is going to go. But the word of God is going to buy forever. So we need to be able to understand that in this open statement that we have the power and the authority to worry. You have the power and the authority to worry because the Lord will provide all things. You have an authority to tell those spirits to our life, I rebuke them in the name of the Lord, and they don't respect race, because it's amazing that they belong to some race. They forget that they only belong to one race, is the human race. That we all were made by one blood, called by one name, Jesus Christ, to be saved. It is amazing that if religion was to save the world, this world would be a paradise. And we complain about everybody's religion and everybody forget about that. Complain about the demons that build religions and religious spirits, that they know more about religion than any man upon the face of the earth because they lived in heaven. They know everything about us. They were watching when God was making us. They snuck into the garden and they put fear. And I want to just show you how the enemy walked into a holy place. A holy place. Because where Adam and Eve were, they are an example. They were in a holy place. Now notice what I said, holy place. They were not in a holy, holy place. They were in a holy place. Because God had created the Garden of Eden. And he had blessed that and put man there and gave them dominion over all the things that were there. They were there with an unholy spirit. You hear that? Unholy spirit that was walking around and seeking to try to find destruction for the things that God created. So in that garden where matrimony was, there was a spirit of loneliness that entered in. You never thought about that? How did Adam know that he was lonely? And how did God see that he was lonely? Because God knows all of the things. So that spirit was in the garden. How many people are right now feeling lonely, want to kill themselves because they have no children that go see them in a senior citizen? Nobody wants them. Some of them are ministers, some of them are missionaries, some of them are great preachers that were in there. And they've done great work, gave their life to be able to bring forward the gospel. They're laying in some little bed, no one there for them. Children, not a pastor because he's too busy running around doing everything else, and he forgot about that little person that's there that can't have no more tithes as they want them. Can't go out and help and do the work that needed to be done. But that is the one that God wants us to meet. It is our responsibility before the presence of God to go there. Oh, if I go, they can't understand. They don't know where they're at. They don't even know that they're alive. But you know they're alive. And you know God knows that they're alive. And they have a need. And their mind goes in and out. And sometimes they come and they wonder. And you see tears coming down their face and wonder, what's going on? They're in a circle of life. We're in another circle of life. That it is our responsibility to be able to be a blessing to them. You see, the word of God teaches us that we have power. Greatest power in the world, which is, who is what? Comforter. If the Spirit of God is in us, we have the authority and the power to be a comforter to those that are in need. To give them the hope of glory. We have an answer for them. We have an answer to be able to set them free from their worries. And then when we, as humans, try to be heard, you can't be heard that easy. I'm going to give you a little secret. If you take your watch, every time you go through a problem and you're a true believer, and you have not lost your faith, you look at your watch, and it will last about 30 seconds, that feeling. But it's going to feel like an eternity. And you're going to tell that feeling, in the name of Jesus, command you to go. Get out. You don't belong here. Because where there's fear, there's loss of faith. Where there's fear, there's loss of faith in our lives. God has given us that authority so that we could be a blessing. But I just want to use the book of Genesis chapter 3. So we could go starting from the beginning, because we got to know what God done in the beginning. Because you know what God done in the beginning? He's doing today. That's why I open up. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the enemy was in the beginning garden. And he's still here. But he has no more authority over us. That's what I love about Jesus. And the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, I'm just going to use that one, and then we're going to flip a little around so that we could probably get an understanding of who we are and how God made us at his image and likeness. And we're looking at an image in a natural image, but it's supposed to be a spiritual image. God looks like all of us. Ain't that amazing? God is black, white, he's yellow, he's pink, he's Chinese, speaks every language, blessed be his holy name. And that, how can that be? Well, I don't know. I don't know all the mysteries. All I know is that we are all made at his image and likeness, and it doesn't have nothing to do with this exterior body. It has to do with the interior body. Blessed be God. I know that I got 8 daughters and 2 sons, and they all look a little different, but they all look hair. Well, they're beautiful and good looking. They look like me, you know? So I know that they got, like you also. You know? Because everyone says, they look like you. They got this like you. They got that. Do we all have a similarity? And in the spirit realm, we all. There is something there inside of us that has given us. Secondly, is that also believe that God has given you the revelation, if I may use that word. The revelation, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus became man and took a body, so that's your body that you have. And God gave us a soul, a living soul that he came to redeem. Gave us a spirit that goes back to God. So we're body, soul, and spirit. Ain't that amazing? God's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Ain't that amazing? There's a similarity that dwells in us all. To give us that relationship that we have lost, God gives it back. There's a spirit of fear. In fear, there's no love. In fear, there is no peace. When we start to realize that the Lord is with us, and the Lord God called unto Adam, what's your name? What's your real name? Not your Christian name. Not the name that someone gave you because they liked the name. My mother named me Angelo because she liked that name. She said it was later on in life I found out that her first boyfriend was named Angelo. You know? So I questioned her and I questioned my father. I said, did you know that? Your name is Martin. And she had a boyfriend named Angelo, and you allow her, me being the firstborn, to name me Angelo? I wonder if there's a soul tie there that had to be broken in the name of the Lord. But this is humanity. They didn't name me Angelo because I was going to be a messenger of God, or because I was going to be good or whatever. Because in Puerto Rico, they just name you whatever they felt. And they give you a Christian name. That's why there's a lot of Carmens, a lot of Marias, you know, because they were Catholic, was in power at the time, so they used all these Christian names. But what is your real name? The same name that Jesus took, Jesus Christ. Savior, liberator. But he was the second Adam. But actually he was the first Adam because he was before the first Adam. So we have a relationship that your last name is Adam. No matter which way you look. See, mine is Rosario because that's what they tell me. But when I go to the scriptures, I find that I'm a descendant of Adam. And that the fruits of Adam are in my life. And that I lost something. And the Lord called Adam, all Adam. Because Christ came to save the descendants of Adam, which was the fallen race. Came to redeem us. And when the enemy knocked us down, he put a whole bunch of things in our flesh. And then our soul was confused because in the spirit world, in the spirit that Lord was to serve God all of the time. But in the flesh dwells nothing good. There's always a war in the flesh. So there's a war between spirit world and the natural world, and I'm in the middle. And I'm being squeezed, going this way or going that way, and those emotions are driving me crazy. So I become what they were saying, polar. But now Christ came to set me free. In other words, educate me. Not the flesh, because the flesh cannot be educated. Flesh doesn't know what it wants. Sometimes I want a blonde woman, sometimes I want a brunette. Thank God that they got all these new things that they put on so my wife could become whatever she wants. Because we're never satisfied. We're too fat, we're too skinny, we're too tall, too ugly. Not me anyway. But God called Adam. God called. And you know, it's amazing that Adam had a relationship with God. He had never heard the voice of the devil. I rebuke him. Adam had never heard the voice of the devil. Matter of fact, he didn't even know that evil existed. He didn't know what you and I know as God knows good. When we eat of that tree, then the Lord says, now they are like us, knowing good and evil. I would rather not know evil. And when it talks about good, it's talking about kingdom good. Not the humanistic. It's talking about kingdom good. Adam knew everything about God's kingdom. Goodness of heaven. The pleasure of walking through the garden of the Lord. Never hearing those extra voices that sometimes manifest in our flesh. try to, you know why sometimes we can't sleep? Because we don't hear the voice of the Lord. We hear other voices that are talking to us and we don't rebuke them. He wants to stop you in your journey, in your ministry. He wants to convince you like he tried to convince Eve. And then Eve gave a conversation to her husband. Do you know that before Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, whether it was an apple or a banana or a watermelon, it makes no difference. He didn't just eat, he spoke to him first. You see, nothing happened, Adam. And the words have power. Did you know that? That God's word has power. And you cannot lean to your own understanding or her understanding at the moment, or it could be the man. You got to be able to lean to what God had already ordained and said. God, I tell him, do not eat tree. Matter of fact, don't even touch it. Because something is going to happen in your nature that is going to change, that you will not be able to control. Because you have listened to the voice of the enemy. So the enemy wants you to fail in every area. He's a good chess player. He has everything planned out. But the Lord called. Isn't that amazing? And Adam heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where are thee? Some people say, well, don't God know where he was at? Doesn't God know everything? God was given an opportunity to come clean. God gives us an opportunity to come clean, to confess our offenses, not to make excuses. That when we make a mistake, especially now that we're already in this body full of sin, disobedience. It's no different what you do and how consecrated you are and how spiritual you may think you are and I. We're going to die. We're going to get old. We're going to get bad emotions and bad feelings that are going to fight against us, and we have to fight back against them. That is the truth. And when you know the truth sets you free. Because you know how to against these principalities. And believe it or not, if you have them, your children. And if your children have them, children's children will have them. And your neighbor has them. And if they don't know how to control and fight, they're going to be defeated. God called Adam, and God is calling you. You know what? Clean and confess your offense. But Adam told him that he heard his voice and was afraid. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. How much fear we have today that we may lose our home, job. Do you know that that fear, once it takes over your life, the enemy has taken it over? And no, you're not only going to lose your house. You're going to lose your wife and your husband and your children. Once you lose your job and you lose your house, there's fights that come up. When the financial world starts to collapse in your home, and that worry starts to complain one against the other, we forget to go to our provider, the one that is able to help us, to give us according to our needs. We forget and we start to, in the home, we start to tell our children, don't ask for nothing no more. We got to save for a rainy day. Well, it rains every day. We need to be able to show them that God is in control. And that where there is no way, God will make a way. It is our place to show our congregation that we are living in prophetic times. And the prophetic time, that means we're in God's time frame, where he is going to be able to give us victory. We as believers trust in the Lord. Need to be able to get those worries out. Those concerns got to go. We got to be about God's kingdom. Yes, I know that I still live in this world. Yes, I know that I still got to eat. Yes, I know that I still got to pay rent. Yes, I know that I still got to wear clothes. Yes, I know I got to buy gas. Yes, I know all of these things. But who is my provider? The Lord. And maybe we need to cut down on a lot of eating because we eat too much anyway. And many times we're not grateful of what we have received. We need to be able to allow God, and God is calling us back to seeking him out. Because he has provision for you. Believe it or not, today you will be with me. Paradise. When you're in paradise, boy, I tell you one thing. Paradise has a beautiful jacuzzi there. I don't have to pay for anything. And when you're in paradise, you even have a perfect body, a perfect working machine, without no sickness, without no diseases. And that should be our faith. In that garden, there are fruits there, the best fruit that you could buy. And you don't have to buy them, you could pick them from the tree and enjoy the real taste of those fruits. The vegetables and everything that's there, the cattle and the fish that is there in the lake, that we have authority over it, blessed be God. And God is bringing us that spiritually into that paradise. But that paradise now becomes material-wise also. Because he knows that we're still human, because he made us. That's why I love him so much. So our worries, our desires, the mask that we put on all of the time to fit our needs, our human needs. You ever seen a person angry? It's not that person. There are things that are demons. Please understand that demons exist. They were in the garden. But there's such a thing called the fallen flesh, the fallen nature of man that needs to be brought under control. That we need to be able to deny ourselves. You see, you can't deny demon unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to rebuke them. But you could deal with yourself. and you do not allow them entrance into our lives. There's a border God puts around. He had around Job, didn't he? Job, and the enemy knew that. He couldn't penetrate that. So there is border that God puts around us and around our children. Before that border gets taken off, that shield, protection, whatever you want to call it, he has to go to God. And he has to ask permission. And God sometimes allows him the permission. See, God don't put no sickness on you. But he allows the permission. Because the enemy is a disease from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And anytime he touches you, you get infected, but not in your soul. And God told him, go. But God knows what he's doing. He tells him, go and touch me. Bishop Rosario or Angela Rosario or Monkey Rosario, whatever he wants to call me, is okay. But he will give me the power and the strength that in my soul, that's what it counts. I'm going to stand fast. No matter what happens, I'm going to stand fast because I got one life to give for my Lord. And because I know that in the last 47 years of ministry, that he is my deliverer. Hallelujah. That's where everything changes in our lives. God called Adam and God is calling to what? Three. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is calling us into deliverance. Deliverance is a manifestation of something that you have received so that you could help others come out of the problem they're in. Slavery. Being somebody else's property, actually. Being led by somebody else. It bothers me sometimes when I hear people, well, I'm free. I say, why are you taking drugs? I'm free. Why are you taking alcohol? I'm free. Why don't you have a good home life? There's something else governing your life, because if you were free and you say you love your wife and love your family, why ain't you doing a good job? Why ain't you doing the things that you're supposed to be doing towards people that you love? Why do you want to be out here in a bar spending all your money while you have not paid the rent? Crazy. Why would you want to be out here doing all these things that are negative when you can't even buy a can of beans for your car? Sooner or later, you're going to sleep in your car. Then they're going to take your car. Why? Because there is a manifestation of evil that we have to be able to confront. My desire for you is to know that you have the power and authority too. God is calling you. And that spirit of fear right now in the blessed name of Jesus got to get up and got to go out. I don't have to lay hands on you, but I guarantee you that that spirit got to go. He's going to go. He's going to go. He's going to go in the name of Jesus. Because the one that sets us free, his name is Jesus. We are only an instrument in his hand. And the word says, just say the word. Speak the word and it would be done. Don't be quick to lay hands because you may not be ready. But when the word of God goes out, they respect that word. They have to submit to the word. And the word is the resurrected Jesus that lives in you and in me. Many of the times we have a problem when you can't sleep at night. You got to go back and tell the Lord, Lord, I believe that you are the God. And you start to blood word. Especially Psalm 23. You know, the fear comes to us because we're all afraid to die. But you know what is going to happen? You want to know the truth? You're going to die. There's nothing that you could do. You were born to die, but you're going to die to live because he is eternal. So we should not fear what man could do to the body, but fear what God could do to the body. So you are an eternal being. So don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. If you're going to die or you're going to live. Thank God for the days that you have lived, been in victory. Now we got a call from one of our ministers that her niece passed away in Puerto Rico last night. And young girl, probably about 22 years old, giving birth, she also died. So there goes home, 22 year old. But they are born to die, but they die to live. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear what? No evil. Death is evil. Brings conflict to our lives and to our family. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Watch it now. Forever. That's verse 6 of that beautiful psalm, ain't it? That means if I'm dwelling somewhere, can I be dead? I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, he will live. Blessed be God. So we are eternal beings. We have to be able to take control of our life and tell sickness and disease, you can't put fear in me, cancer. You got to go in the name of Jesus. And if not, I'm going to a place where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more getting old. That is my hope of what? Glory. Ah, hallelujah. You see the difference? The demons don't have no authority over us. Cannot impart fear no more. We have the authority to tell them, my finance, go. They're not yours. Now hear this. If God gave it to you, there's no demon that could take it from you. If you took it yourself and you've done wrong things getting it, be ready because the enemy's coming back for what it is. And whatever belongs to him, he's going to come back for it. You got to be able to repent and ask the Lord so that your finances will be blessed. Even the little bit that you have will become much. Because you will never want from anything. And you will be satisfied and your family will be satisfied. And if you have the millions that God will give us also, like Abraham was. You know, people say Peter was poor. Peter wasn't. Peter was a businessman. You know, sometimes we talk about business people and like if they were no good and cannot enter the kingdom of God. David was rich. Solomon was rich. Abraham was rich. Moses was rich. Peter was rich. He had to be rich. He had a couple of ships.
He was a fisherman, but he owned those ships. In order to have a business and have those ships, you had to have money. Especially in that time to get them made. Because they were made by hand. They didn't have the machinery we have today. And yes, there wasn't that much. There wasn't expensive, but he had a business. He had people that were fishing. And they were working on his ship. And if he had someone that was working on the fish, I guarantee you he had some salespeople to sell fish. You know the old story? Teach a person to fish and he will never go hungry. Or teach a person to fish and he'll have accountants and restaurants and distributors. And he'll have a lot of business out there. Because every business spreads out to something else. And we could become a unit. But what happened is that everything that we receive, we use it to the glory and honor of God. That we, when we see the person that is hungry, we don't pray, Lord, feed him. Here, I'll feed you. And I'll teach you how to work so you can make the money come. Sweep this office here. Sweep this. Do something. Because you should never give nothing for nothing. Unless the person cannot help himself. If a person is sick and a person is falling apart or a person is too old that they can't work, care of them. Because God is going to bless you. Care of the orphans because they don't have parents. Care of the widows, especially in that time, because they don't have a husband to take care of them. Bless them so God could be able to bless you. That's where the worry of that widow is no longer. Why? Because there is a house that follows the principles of God to be able to take care of them. See, that's why the United States is so great. They practice the principle, even though that they lost a lot of it. They want to take care of the orphans. They want to take care of the widows. They want to take care of those that are in problems and difficulty. They want to build schools to educate everyone from the lowest to the highest. They want to be able to help the whole world. That's why we're in debt. People hate us, but they want our money. People hate us, but they all want to come here to the United States. There's no place like the United States, but they hate us. So don't come back into my country. Stay out. Send them home. You want to like it here? Don't talk about my country. Go home. Go back where you came from. You see, you understand what I mean? If you don't like the kingdom where God has brought you, go back to hell. Go back to Egypt. Go back to where you came from to see if you're a slave. You know that happened to the children of Israel. They want to return back to Egypt. When little hard times came, they were not grateful from where God had brought them because they have not come out of that condition, mental condition that they were in of slavery. We need to be able to know that we have been set free by the King of Kings. We need to be able that greater is he that lives in us. Greater than he that is in the world. And be grateful. You have the authority to speak to your children. Did you know that? I found the greatest time to speak to your children is when they can't speak. Isn't that amazing? Can't speak. How? When they're asleep, you go slowly and you anoint them and you whisper into their ears. The Lord is your healer. The Lord is your protector. Without the Lord, there is nothing to. And you walk on out. And you come back the following day. And you speak to them, to their feet. Isn't that amazing? Speak to their feet. Let these feet walk where the will of God may be. Let it be a light unto your feet. You don't have to even touch them. But if you could touch them with the love of God, with the mercy of God, with the compassion of God, and tell the enemy, take your hands off these feet. These feet belong to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They will start trying to go somewhere and those feet will have their own mind. Because the body has to obey the word of God. When you're sick, to your body. And tell your body if you identify that it's a sickness of the flesh. That it doesn't have anything to do with outside powers, even though that it has a root in demonology. But if it's not that powerful, you go to a doctor, the doctor says, well, you got this, now you know what you got, he found the problem. But if it's a spiritual problem, he can't find it. So now you are able to talk to your body. Tell your body, you know what, body? Through his stripes, we are healed. Because he made provision for your body. He made provision for your flesh. So that means that you could tell your body, this hand consecrated unto God. And you know how it says, lay your hands upon the sick and they will heal. But when you heal, it's the same method. Forget about going to the pastor, the bishops, and everybody else. You could go to them because the Bible says pray one for another. But take that hand and lift it up the hand to God and give God clean hands and glorify him. Say, you are the Lord my healer. And these hands belong to you, Lord. Right now I come against the spirit of sickness in this body. And I command you to be gone.
Pray better for you than yourself.
When you become one with the word and one with Christ, now your worries of death and sickness, no more. I told a person once, they were having financial problems. I said, good, you love money too much. Take your money, throw it on the floor and step on it. And tell them you are under the feet of Christ. I redeem you in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of greed, because that's a bad spirit. Wanted to have treasures on earth and not in heaven? You got to build treasures in heaven. Step out of it and tell them, you're under the authority of the Lord. And then I tell them, especially here in the United States, do you know that your money is blessed? Did you know that? Criticize and talk about it. On the money, it all says, in God we trust. Everybody else pay cash. All your money it has in God we trust. It doesn't say trust in the money. It says in God trust. When your finances
God to give you deliverance. Say, well, I got too much of this and too much of that. I don't need to buy no more. Let me put some money away. Let me put some money for an inheritance, children. And let me use this inheritance to buy a piece of meat. Buying the cheap piece of meat. Get yourself a good piece of meat once in a while. Don't look for the cheapest thing out there. At least once a month, treat yourself. Enjoy what? The fruits of your labor. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes we do not enjoy the fruit of our labor. So we're always penny pinching. Somebody else is going to pinch your pennies later on. And they're going to abuse it. So you have the authority because you come out of the Garden of Eden. Serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. God has given us power. Truth is that without God, there's nothing that you could do. Is that okay? No matter what denomination you may be. No matter what we call ourselves, demon chasers or Christ sanctifies. Or whatever we call ourselves, or Nazarene, or tis a Pentecost. Everybody started off right, wrong somewhere. Where we went wrong is because we lost the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God shows us to all truth. God is awesome. I want to give you in a couple of minutes, I want to give you some verses that use power in the name of Jesus. I got a couple of things over here, and this morning and last night I'm sitting and trying to go over and how do I bring this, because God is the one that creates what we're going to do. We have spirits, we have the name of Jesus has power, we have all these little wonderful things that we put together. Spirit of bondage. You ever heard of spirit of bondage? Bondage is the one that really, really takes a stronghold in your life. It ain't about everybody else. It's about you being set free. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. By we cry, Father. Ain't that amazing? I love my father. I had a good father because he passed out and went with the Lord. But there's no one like my heavenly father. Jesus said, call no one father but our father. Doesn't that mean that you do not give recognition to your father on earth? There's a misconception, some, because the word says to honor your father. That means high respect, high obedience, the only commandment that has promise. And sometimes we get away from it too far because we look at our heavenly father. That's our heavenly father, creator of all mankind and of everything. He is a spiritual being that became flesh through his son that he sent into the world to redeem the world. And that his son, while he was here, he said, I do all the things that my father wants me to do. And I work because my father works through me. In other words, he was honoring. But here it is. Jesus also honored his earthly father, even though that he was adopted by Joseph. But he also honored his mother. When he was in his last moment, he said, son, there is your mother. Mother, there is your son. He made provision to take care of Mary at that particular moment. Sometimes we become so spiritual that we forget about who we are in the natural. That in the natural, we got to give God the glory so that you could get the blessings of long life. Because you honor your father and your mother. And when we do not do that, then what happens is that you will go on and get back what you planned. What you have given unto your family, you're going to get it back. Good or bad or indifferent. So be nice to some little old people, because I'm getting there too. So I want somebody to be nice to me too. I want to be nice when I can't get across the street, somebody comes and grab my arm. I have always watched people and seniors when they're crossing over. I'm ready to go grab them. I grabbed this old lady one time at 42nd Street.
Let me go. I can make it.
And I said, okay, mama. It's all right. But I walk right beside her just in case. She must have been about 90 years old. But spicy?
She was somebody's mother. You got to take care,
though, because the Lord tells us to take care of them.
It ain't only how much we could pray, it's how much you could do.
Do you know that with your love and the love of God that's in you, you are able to chase demons away? The Word of God says, every time we do good works, we'll see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven.
And you know what they ask?
Who is that? They get confused because there's so many religious people that see somebody laying on the street and they walk right by them.
They don't care.
They're bleeding and they don't even have a moment of prayer because that's somebody's son. That is somebody's daughter. No matter what condition they're in or what they're doing. It makes no difference. Because God came to set
bondage is a terrible thing.
I believe that there are many of us Christians that are in bondage. I believe that there is full of us that are in bondage and that God came to set us free because he came to the religious leaders of his time to set them free. Why? Because they had messed up. And from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, there's 400 years of spiritual darkness. They had a lot of word talk and teaching and everything else, but they were not living the word. Jesus came directly to those religious leaders to tell them, you're talking something, but you're not living it.
You're not showing that love to your fellow man.
Bondage is a terrible thing, that religious spirit that is there. And you know what the problem? That one time or another, we all get it. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord.
We start thinking that we're better than somebody else and that we got it all together. Instead of praying for deliverance for them and keep praying for
to live in for ourselves.
So that we don't fall into the same what? Into that same pit. Into that same... Because when we criticize something, that spirit says, I got him now. Gossiping. We're not saying it to be a blessing. We're saying it to gossip about somebody else that has fallen and has lost the power and the strength. David done that. He lost. And I love my brother. He was a man according to... He was like me. Adulterous, murderer, a schemer that sent out a man with own death sentence. That is incredible. To be able to send, call yourself a man after God's own heart. But he never called himself that. God said that about him. You see, but there was something inside of him. There was a battle in him. There was lust. There was desires of the flesh. Now, how can a man, as King David, have those impulses in him when he had so many wives? He didn't have time to get around and get to all of them. He didn't have time. He didn't have time to get to all those concubines that he had. And he had permission. You know, my wife will kill me. That was the law. And I wouldn't last anyway. I'd die. You know, the human side. That's the natural side. Sometimes we don't talk about that human side. Because we're always trying to be up there so high that we forget that we have to overcome this world. These problems here. But here's the problem. That man had a problem of loneliness. Even though he had all those women. Do you know that some men sometimes have a whole bunch of women and they're not happy? Because they have not found the right one. Or let's say, the one. And women the same way. That's why I talk a lot about women of the night. I find them very interesting. Jesus did too. Because a lot of them gave their lives to the Lord. And they found the love of their life. And when they found the love of their lives, they didn't want no other man. No one else. That desire of the flesh and lust and everything that was there, that there was being masquerade, was fulfilled at the moment that they saw Jesus the Master. Jesus the man. They knew that there was a spiritual God up there that needed help the same way that Adam. But when man fell, he was looking for some arms to put around himself. And that's why God gave him woman. And in that particular line, you find that when you find someone that you love,
I love you,
you feel fulfilled. And if lust comes, it lasts seconds. It does not last and carry on. Because fulfill. Because in the flesh dwells nothing good. And you could see something that good. And it may be good, but not good for you. Because when Eve looked into the tree, it saw that it was good to the eye. But God had told him, do not touch that. Tells us the same thing. Because you may not have anything in common other than looks. And after the looks comes, the nails start to come out. And the devil starts to manifest. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Because you have nothing in common. You don't like the same colors. See, my house, my wife could do whatever she wants. Paint polka dots and pink, whatever she wants. Because colors don't make me. I know that I'm a man no matter which way I go. It's no different. But if it makes her happy, I want her to be happy. Because if I come into a home where she's not happy, I'm going to have to go to another home to feel happy. You understand what I'm saying? That is where the enemy starts to build a division in the home. It doesn't matter what ministry you're in. David was the man. David was the man and had all these love affairs. He's crazy. I got to talk to him when I get to heaven. Him and I are going to have a conversation. He was in bondage. He was in bondage. He needed deliverance. And I was... he was in bondage. And we are fighting to stay free. Do you know that you come out of bondage, out of slavery? And when you come out of slavery or any time of oppression, you have to learn to live outside. Because if not, that environment will still be in you. So you have to start learning a new environment of the kingdom of God. So the Lord has given us, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. Ain't that amazing? Again, because you were in fear before. You didn't know what was going to happen. Christians are living in fear. Churches, it is our responsibility to show them that they should not live in fear. They're fearing, oh, wife is going to leave me. My husband's going to leave me. We're about to have a divorce. Fear will make pass. Why? Because now you're going to overprotect what you have. You're going to become an egg, whether you're the man or you're the woman. Makes no difference. You're going to nag every moment. Where were you? I smell perfume on you. I was in the train, girl. And there were people pushing up on me. And there's another perfume. That's a good excuse if it's, you know, if you're doing something wrong. But sooner or later, the God that knows the truth will bring it and reveal the truth. Because anything that's hidden is going to come to pass. See, my wife, every time I come home, she kisses me. I say, I'm wondering if she's trying to spell somebody else on me. But she's not. Because she's always with me 24/7. For real. And I appreciate that. Because I thank God, you know, the one that I want to honor is God. By honoring God, I honor my wife and my children, my family, my church. People will look at you and wonder. Because you got to be kind and nice and to everybody. Everyone you meet. The world cannot understand that. Why are you nice to a lady? I see a lady come in and I want to open up the door. I still do that. I see a lady come in and I say, oh, you look nice today. They think I'm hitting on them. That's part of life. Part of life. I had this lady come to me. She passed away a couple of months ago. I went to do the eulogy in a big African-American church and I was all the way in the back and I didn't want to get up and towards the end. I couldn't take it. So I saw one of the ministers says, I want to say something. And he said, well, we'll finish it. I said, okay. They said, no, come, come. I went up forward and I said, I want to thank coming to our church because when she couldn't go to her church, she comes to our church.
and she lived across the street. Never wanted to go. A year and a half. One day she goes to work, and she's on the bus, and she got a heart attack, and she died right there. Wonderfully. Cam always came into the church dressed, tall lady, must have seen tall. And she walked into the church, she was always well-dressed, well-dressed. In a Jewish organization. A long story short, she kept messing with me. She told me, she said, I like when you wear your clergy collar. Because, you know, there are times where I wear it according to the place I'm going to be and certain things so that they could know who you are. Identify. And sometimes I don't wear it, and sometimes, depending again how I feel and I pray about it, I wear my robe, the bishop's robe, and I put it on. Sometimes I wear a t-shirt. Makes me no different. You know, you wear, according to you going to a black tie affair, you wear a black tie affair. You wear what you're going to wear. One day my daughter gave me, and it's very rare, you know, I like a tie and a shirt and a nice suit, because New York is like that. Okay, there are places I go where you don't have to. You could dress down completely, and that's a good thing. But I wore this, my daughter gave me this shirt, full shirt, with a white collar, white. Oh, that looks nice. I put it on with a nice black suit. To me, and she says to me, Bishop, I like your collar and I like your robe, shirt with that tie. Really done it. I said, my daughter gave me. I said, And I tell the people, I thought she was hitting on me. See? And the people started to laugh, you know, and enjoy, because sometimes we're so stuffy that we can't be real. But her joy coming into our church was such an amazing, was like deliverance. Because sometimes you walk into a house of worship and you feel like you want to go out again. You don't feel comfortable. You don't feel deliverance in the atmosphere. The emotions are gone. So you need to be able to build that type of an atmosphere. And every time she would come in, she comes in with a big smile. The church was filled. She'll walk all the way to the front, find a seat. And she'd be there smiling and enjoying. And you should have seen the play from her country that she brought even young to New York and got them to college, you know, paid out of her pocket. That was her love. Because she believed that God, and that's where we should be at. In a place that makes no difference what religion, what denomination, as long as God is dwelling in you, you should be the good Samaritan. That be a blessing to that person who's on your journey you saw on the ground, beaten up, destructed. Put him on your horse. Today we don't have a horse. Put him in your car. Inn. Pay, even if you have, because he had no money. And tell the inn, if he's not well and I owe you something on my way back, I will pay. Oh, here, hold my credit card. Be a blessing to somebody so you could see delivery. Bondage is in the church, because we do not work for God no more the way we used. And you know, working for God is working for people. It's working for people. It's nothing else. Because you're doing unto the least. And if you do unto the least, you do unto the Lord. And you know what that happens with that? That God will set you free from whatever ails you. Because what goes around, boomerang effect, ain't it? So, bondage. Romans 8:15, you take that and build on it. Then you come to a relationship. What a wonderful relationship. With who? Abba Father. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love that, because I love my Father. May he rest in peace. I love him as a good man. But I love my Heavenly Father even more. Because there is nothing that he will not protect me from. Though I walk through the valley, I'm walking through this valley in life, the shadow of death. You know, sickness is going to come to all of us one way or another. I had a brother says, pray for my sickness. And I said, what ails you, my brother? What ails you? He says, I'm going bald. He was going bald and he didn't want to go bald. That's a sickness. We're falling apart. I'm praying to the Lord for the other sickness of getting old. I don't want to get too wrinkled. You know, give me, Lord, you know, get some heavy starch or something and pull back those wrinkles or something. But the body's going to fall apart. Ministers have been called by God to set, God called Moses to set the bondage that they were in for. Don't worry, I'm going to say. Moses had doubts. They're not going to believe me. Well, they may not believe you, but God's going to give you signs. That these signs will follow on those that believe. God told Moses, I'm going to give you signs and wonders. And he got a little rod and took the rod and said, take this with you. And give me a couple of missiles in order to fight. But he gave him a rod and said, when you go there, throw that in front of Pharaoh. And that's an insignificant thing to set this free. You don't have to know too much. And God didn't reveal to him every plan that God had in his mind. He walked in obedience. To what? Set. You know how many people were there that wanted to die because they were hard slavery. They were dying. They were sick. They were poor. Somebody was talking about taking a bath. They couldn't take a bath every day. They were smelly. Children were poor. And they had hardly no food, no clothes. But God said, go set the captives free. Set my people free. And you know that he's still setting the captives free. That's what I love about it. Especially today. See, I want to run. Sometimes I get excited. Jesus started setting the captives free. For 400 years, there was nobody being set free. They had religious demons. flowing all through. They were living any which way they want. King, that was supposed to be keeping the word of God, was living with his brother's wife out of the will of God completely. Not no spirituality, but a lot of religious form. The religious people of that time killed Christ. See, religion is an impulse. That's why people change from one religion to the other. From one demon to another. They need Christ. But somebody got to go out there and let them know. Not criticize them. They're in bondage. Their minds are debated. We got to be able to their minds free. And they don't trust ministers anymore. Because everybody's fighting. Everybody loves how the spirit of criticism. Are you ready to be set free? I'm getting set free. Power of the wind, the air. The Lord is there too. Because the demons that are in the air, they got to go in the name of Jesus. The prince of the air, go. It has to open up space. So that the Spirit of the living God could flow into your mind. That you could breathe in the Spirit of God and give you power and authority. Bondage. Through the whole scriptures you find it. Babylon, the children of Israel, because of their disobedience, they were religious. Do you know that sometimes God allows us to go to get out of Egypt and a couple of years later you're in Babylon, bondage again? Because we forget, set us free. Where he brought us out from. And the children of Israel forgot that they had been set free and that God was the one that was keeping them free. Remember when they asked for a king? Sometimes we ask for things that we don't know what we're asking for. We fall right back into bondage again. And God's there to set us free again. Blessed be God for his infinite mercy. Thank God that he's been merciful on me. A million times, and I don't know how many more millions that I'm not aware of that have been mercy upon me. But he is setting the captives free. He has given you and me that authority. Why can't we use that authority that God has given us? Exodus 1:4 has a spirit of bitterness. When you're bondage, bitter, can't help being bitter. You want to be able to take control. That's an impulse. That's an emotion. That's there. Somebody does something wrong to you and bothering you after a while, you get bitter inside. As a matter of fact, you're asking God, God, take him out. Take her out. But you forget that it's not the individual. It's the demon that is there. And why don't we get victory? Because we're going against the individual and not the demon that is in the individual. The spirit that have brought them into bondage. And sometimes we get that little bitterness inside of us. Pastors get it also. You know that? You imagine a pastor in his congregation helping the people 5-10 years. He's the shield for them. He's praying continuously, counseling them, counseling their children. He's the chauffeur. He takes them to here, to there, wherever he wants, they need to go. He's there every Sunday, during the week, praying and fighting with them. And when they get right and ready, and now they're strong, they get up and they go. When they're ready to be a blessing to the congregation and a blessing to the home, it's like your children. They get up and they go. And they forget about you. There's some kids that don't forget. They know what you went through. So what happened is that after years of ministry and problem and things, you get a little bitter. Why am I going to waste my time with these people? See, Moses didn't get bitter. Mad. He got mad. When he talked to the people after he threw all the problem of taking them out of Egypt. And they're demanding water. And the more he gave them, the more they demand. You ever seen that? When you came to the Lord, you didn't have nothing. And look what the Lord has done. And the more you have, the more you want, and you give nothing in return. Moses, one time, he got mad, and the rock, and he goes over there to the storm, and stand up, and he with a bam, and blood and water come. Now you cannot go into the promised land. Brought him to that place where he lost going to the promised land. God had another plan, because if he would have gone over to the promised land, they would have made an idol of him. Don't like idolatry. But God is a good God, because he's a wonderful God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, when you get a chance, you take a look at it, God brought him over to the promised land in the Mount of Transfiguration. Ain't that amazing? God always keeps his promise. You know, even when we fail, God is faithful. Blessed be God. Because he's going to take us on. So when you have your heart, because he got mad, but he said, get mad, but don't get angry to an extreme that you're going to blaspheme God and curse everybody else. He went before God in prayer, because God wanted to kill all the children of Israel. He wanted to destroy them. Do you think that God doesn't want to destroy us sometimes? When we think we're all that, and we think that we're better than somebody else, or anybody, and we think that we're better than the devil, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But I don't have the right and the authority to do anything but just to rebuke him and keep him away. God got to deal with that. That's God's business. You see, in the book of Jude, even the archangel Michael, when came by, he just rebuked and said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't curse him. We want to be able to curse him and think that we're better. When we have so much in us that is like him, that our nature has to be changed. That's why God wants us to be born again. Water and of the Spirit. And the water is only a human manifestation of repentance. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the rebirth paradise of the garden. So we have that satanic activity. So man, that time went by quick. I didn't even get into the first part. But I'm just going to give you verses that you could take, golden nuggets that you could take, and just what I have told you, you are able to spread it out and scatter it and let God through you. Because the devil has not authority over us. We have authority over him. I had two prophets tell me, one in Houston and one in the Bronx. They said, devil knows you and he's afraid of you. I never heard it. I rebuked them. I it. Because everything that I don't understand, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. If it's God's, I can't rebuke God. So that I test the spirits then. Because some things sound nice, and they sound nice to the ear, but they are not godly. So you rebuke it in the name of Jesus to get the right spirit. Then I realized that the devil is afraid of us. And he does know us. He knew Jesus. Jesus walked, he said, "Thou art the Son of the living God. Have you come to torment me before my time?" He knows. They love to torment you, but they don't like to be tormented. They like to get you out of your atmosphere and get you fired from your job, but they don't want to be fired from theirs. They want to take your house, but they don't want to cast out of the house that they're living in. They love to torment. They're like that. Paul, we know, but who are you? Jesus, we know, but who are you? Well, we know that they know who we are. And they know the authority that is in us. My question to you is, do you know the authority that is in you to be able to stop him dead in his track? To tell him, you don't come no further. In the name of Jesus, I command you to turn around. That's why the word says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Pray no more. Use the authority. Do what God has told you to do. Allow the word to become real. Come a walking Bible. And you know what a walking Bible is? A person that walks after the holiness of God. That trust is in the Lord. And the Lord will give us victory. So the victory is yours no matter what. It makes no difference who prays for you. If you do not pray for yourself, there's something wrong. The Lord told the apostles that they had to do what? Pray without ceasing. He said, I'm going to pray. Well, he prayed for them. John 17. But he told them to pray and fast that certain things don't come out if it ain't through fasting and praying. I'm trying to finish it up and try to get so much little material in there so you could have an understanding. When we say pray that these things do not come out if it ain't through fasting and praying. And then he's telling the apostles because they pray for someone and nothing happened. And he had to cast them out, call him man of little faith. You know what he's saying here? He's actually telling us it doesn't come out if it ain't through fasting and praying. It means that you got to get yourself right. That you got to prepare yourself. That you got to believe in the Lord. That you got to trust in the Lord. That the evil cannot be in you. You can't be of two minds. You got to know in who you trust so that God can come through you, hallelujah, and bring out the power so that the captive be set free. Why? Because you are free and because you believe that you are free and you have accepted the freedom that greater is he that is in you than he that is. Ain't that amazing? He's talking about the world. The devil is the world and you are greater. Now, you are greater. And the moment that you and I start to believe that you are greater, no one can stop you. You're not going to be proud and have all these things that, oh, I'm better than anybody. No, you're going to be meek and you're going to be humble in the presence of God because the one that is doing the work through you, for you, that is blessing you, is the Lord himself. And then on top of that, you are blessing everybody else that you meet in your journey through life. That's where the key is at. You cannot allow the enemy to disturb your sleep. When he disturbs your sleep, you got to tell him, you got to give it back. Get out. You have no authority in the name of Jesus. You know, when you walk in fear, you will lose your job. Whatever you get, you will lose because you walk in fear. When they used to tell me, well, you're going to get fired. You're going to say, you can't fire me. I wouldn't tell them. Tell the Lord. I said, you can't fire me. You didn't give me this job. God gave it to me. When God is ready for me to go, I leave. And I will go home and I pray. Following 2 weeks, I get a raise, get a promotion. They think that they motor me, but they give me more money and send me to another department. And every time that I turn around, they try to come against. And there's a word that a couple of the people that I used to work with, because I used to work in Corp City, which is 55,000 apartments and 65,000 residents. And I worked there, my wife works there in the legal department. And as we're walking through, I hear this guy call me and he says, Angel. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, you know, the maze. That no matter how they move you, how they throw you, you always land on your feet. Then I retired and I left my churches right there in the community where I used to work. So you have to have a greater testimony because now you're the boss and you're firing people and hiring people, but your church is right outside the door. And I live right around the corner. And my wife works there. So we have to make sure that our testimony is correct because we're living in the midst. It's not like me working in Manhattan, living in the Bronx. I could act holy in Manhattan or act like a beast in Manhattan and act holy in my community. And he said that. I said, well, I said, you know why? Because the one that guides my life and guides our life, his name is Jesus. When Jesus guides us, there's no one that could take your job, no one that could take your wife, no one that could take your husband. Because what's yours was given to you by God. And if it's not given to you by God, you better ask God then to help you. To make out of something wrong, something right. Because he's the only one that could do that. But if you live in fear and worry, that's a demon. Because that demon will destroy you. You have to have faith that surpasses all human understanding. Trust in the Lord God. God. Children, the same thing. My youngest daughter that's been here, now my wife and I are praying. She started at Mercy College, and now she decided, my wife, but we're praying that she wanted to go to Florida. And we're going to let her go, but we're praying. So we're praying that whatever worries we may have, we put those worries in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, in the blessed name of your holy Son, Jesus, give you all the glory, for you are our deliverer, our Savior. And I pray right now, Lord God, that every spirit, every name it may come by, because they change their pattern. But you know them all, Lord God. I come against them, Father. Every spirit of destruction, of worry, mistrust, oh Lord God, that comes to us, we rebuke them in the name Jesus. We command, oh Lord God, according to your word, that we have authority over them. And we command them to stop their attack on us. Let them go, O Lord God. Get back in the name of Jesus. Let our life continue to grow in grace and never in disgrace. Because if you are with us, who could be against us? In the name of Jesus, pray that your blessing be upon us, upon our family, upon our friends, and upon everyone we meet in our journey through life, that you give us words of deliverance, grace, and peace upon us. In whose name? In whose name? In whose name? In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen and amen. Because that's the name. Pray for the food. Father, bless the food. Let it be nourishing to our bodies in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.